Stranded in the land of Barovia, Mairi sought solace in the only ally she could find, a man named Ismark, who wanted her help escorting his sister to the nearby town of Kresk. Mairi was hesitant to guard somebody unarmed, and Ismark directed her toward a place she might find a weapon. Steeling herself, Mairi entered the Death House of Barovia, the haunted home of the late Durst family. Mairi investigated the murderer's mansion and learned their terrible fate. A bastard son, starved children, suicide, and themed decor. Mairi pulverized the parish parents and refused their ritual. She fled a fleshy fiend and finished as final girl of this spooky episode, landing on the lawn at last. The smoke that was billowing out of the fireplace fades up into the mists, joining in with the darkening clouds as the morning light begins to brighten. More or less, it is still gray and chilly. It's like Bay Area morning. As you are now in the yard of the old Durst place with a couple of treasures, including the deed to the house and the deed to a windmill, which as you like look at the deed and the paper yellows and ages in front of you as you have now taken it beyond the threshold of this house.
Does it like disappear or just gets really old?
No,
fast?
Just kind of like crumbly on the edges.
That.
And yeah.
Don't love that. Does everything outside this house look the same? Have I been in there for 30 years? That's my question.
Make a perception check.
26. I rolled no bones, so I have no idea what my fate this round will be.
Oh, yeah. It's all surprise bones.
Surprise bones should only be happy.
You're pretty sure with your 26 perception check that you had gone in the middle of the night and now the sun is beginning to rise. So even though it only took an hour episode time, it took...
God.
More hours. Not.
But ain't that how it be? I look down. I am older, but it's not from any magic.
Yeah.
I just haven't
just
been paying
stress.
Attention. And age has been happening.
Your hair has gone gray.
Just one strand of hair.
One hair has gone gray. And you pluck it out and go, no!
Not yet!
The undefeatable monster of time.
Oh my That'd god, my not mom a... died her.
Your mom died?
Her hair.
Okay. Whew. I saw my mom yesterday. At her funeral, you failed to mention... Jeez Louise, bud.
It's so funny because I stopped to not be rude and interrupt you, but I stopped at a moment that would ruin your life. My mom dyed her hair and it looks just like mine. That's what I was going to say. It looks like it is me.
That is cool as long as she didn't do it on purpose to be like, and I should look like Lee recapturing my youth.
No, it wasn't on purpose.
So yeah, you're in the yard of this house. The paper has aged, though you have not.
I hate the homeless.
This problem.
That's what we just did. So I'm going to take all of my new materials and head back to Arena's house. And it is Mark's house.
Okay. It is a quick jaunt down the lane. You don't even make it to the door when it opens. And Arena goes, come inside. We were worried... when we didn't hear from you after a few hours.
Never worry about me. Just got chased by some flesh, and I just walk in.
Oh, so typical night out for a girl. Okay. She follows behind you, and Ismark is standing there. Goes, did you do the knock? No, I opened the door before she could do the knock. Did you tell her to come in? Yeah, I told her to come in. She could have been bit. She could have been turned in the middle of the night. Arena, what are you doing? And he, like, rounds on you and grabs one of these... like discs, this wooden circle with a wooden cross through it off the wall and holds it out in front of him at you.
I put my hands up and I'm like, listen, if I would have been bit, she would have been dead already, so.
Oh, good. Now I'm all comforted.
But hey, I got a windmill.
What?
Never mind. I was able to get some arms while I was out. Just wanted to pivot real hard so you didn't have to think about that too much.
Sorry, it took you longer than we expected and it's natural for us to fear the worst.
Right. That's totally fair.
Well, you're here just in time. The sun's beginning to rise, shall we? And he leans down and puts a hand around one of the makeshift handles on the casket.
Can vampires go out in the day?
Other places, I don't know. But in Barovia, there's not much of a day to speak of. And the beast walks the land whenever it pleases him.
Got it. And she grabs the other handle.
Make a strength check.
Oh, man. 14.
Okay. You reach down and haul it up, and you make your way down the lane to the church at the end of it. You make your way past the Blood of the Vine Tavern, whose door still hangs open, although the lights inside have been slightly doused. The bartender making his way down the line, polishing glasses yet again. The stifled sobs of Mad Mary behind you. It seems as if she is kind of sleep moaning instead of just crying in the night.
Hmm.
The street starts to rise slightly, and atop this slight rise, against the roots of the pillar stone that supports Castle Ravenloft, stands a gray, sagging edifice of stone and wood. The church has obviously weathered the assaults of evil for centuries on end and is worn and weary. A bell tower rises toward the back, and flickering light shines through holes in the shingled roof. The rafters strain feebly against their load. You can see the heavy wooden doors of the church are covered with claw marks and scarred by fire. Ismark shifts his grip on the casket and motions to Arena, who goes and knocks on the door, and it is almost immediately opened by a round-faced looking man who is, he's got a large red nose, deep, dark shadows under his eyes. It looks as though he has not slept for many nights, not just the one immediately before. His eyes themselves are bloodshot, and he appears to have been crying. His hair, what little of it he has left, is slicked back against his head. And with a trembling voice, he looks at you and says, "Are you of the living?"
Is there a... Yes. I was going to ask, is there a better coat than that? Should I tell you three things only a living person would know? Like, it smells wet. Does that help you?
He reaches behind the door and pulls out a mirror and holds it out for himself and angles it so he can see you and him in it. Almost like taking a selfie, but with way higher stakes. And looks and says, "Good. Good. Please, come in. Come in. Can't be too careful these days."
And apparently you can be too careful of me, but you didn't care about any of them. That's fine. And she walks in.
He's still carrying the casket. And Ismark says, "Besides, I could not have answered honestly yes, for not all of us are." And the father looks down and says, "Of course. How inconsiderate of me. Terribly. Sorry, Ismark, Irina. This is your pallbearer?"
Yeah, I'm Masha. Hi.
Masha. Hello. My name is... Donna, his introduction is interrupted by a tortured scream coming from deeper within the church. And he kind of like puts his hand to his heart and then says, "Donovich, my name is Donovich. Please, please come in."
I follow him in and go to wherever he points us to put the dad.
Sure. He leads you down
what
a hall.
As he's doing this, I yes. wanted to ask, what was that? Sound. Do you have someone else you should be taking care of right now?
Make a persuasion check.
24.
He glances over his shoulder at you as you follow him with the casket, and he says, "It's my son. I'm taking care of him as best as I am able." The hall itself is about 10 feet wide and leads to a brightly lit chapel filled with candles. The unlit hall that you're walking in reeks of mildew, and there are four doors, two on each side, leading to adjacent chambers. You can see the chapel is strewn with debris, and you hear another of those screams rise from beneath the wooden floor. He indicates for you to put the casket down on a stone altar at the far end. Looking closely now, you can see the debris to either side are ruined pews, wooden benches that have been broken apart.
I want to get close to Ismark and be like, "His son, is this, do you know about it?"
He nods and says, "Like I said, when the last stranger came to town, his son was inspired to attempt an assault on the beast's castle."
Got it.
You now stand in this chapel lit with candles and candelabras. Donovich kneels and kind of spreads his vestments, which you can see are soiled and dirty, stained with sweat. Next to him hangs a long, thick rope that you can see stretches up to the bell in the tower. He indicates for you and Ismark to set the body down on the altar.
We do it.
Arena goes to the candelabra and takes one of the candles and opens the grip of her father's body and puts the candle so it's upright, so it's like he's holding it on his chest. And the little flame flickers as Donovich says, "We welcome you, Morning Lord, and we honor you this day, celebrating your light as we partake in our journey once more. Great and powerful, the sun is your blessing and shows us your loving way. Thank you for your gifts, your warmth that touches us to the core,
Father,
your light
please.
Shining down on
I'm
the land
starving.
And making things grow. Your eternal love will always be in our hearts, O Lord of the Sun. We honor you, Lord, for you are the beacon who casts away the gloom, and devote our days in your holy name and the darkness we shun. And Irina and Ysmark take both of their hands and make a disc, like a circle with them, and place it over their sternums, like over the center of their chest. Thumbs touching thumbs.
I do the same.
It is morning, and as the light moves in to hold its bulwark against the darkness, we say farewell to one who has seen his final dusk, Kolyan Indirovich, who sends him to the arms of the Morning Lord. And Ysmark and Irina both say,
I do.
Let's recite the tenets of the faith. And Ysmark says, spread light. Turn your face to each sunrise, for each day is a gift. Irina, you can see, has like a small book in her hand. And she says, help others. Always give aid to one in need. And fear not to ask for aid. Donovich says, nurture life. It is a sacred duty to foster new growth, nurture growing things, and work in the name of the light. And then Irina holds out the book to you and shows you a passage. Points
bring
to the page.
Bring hope. I got it. Bring hope. Wherever you go, plant seeds of hope and shine light for the future in the hearts of all.
The shadows grow longer. And Irina and Ysmark both say,
I will hold high my children, that they might see the sun a while.
The children of Mother Night come out.
I will hold close my children, that they may not feel her teeth.
Farewell, illuminated one, until we meet again.
Until the next sun.
We carry light in our hearts until then. Give us the strength to carry on.
Until the next sun.
Farewell, precious son of the Morning Lord. Take his light with you. Let the candle of your soul pass beyond the gloom and mist to the lands where the sun never sets.
Please.
Sit at our Lord's side in his eternal warm, soothing light. Goodbye, my friend. We will miss your leadership, but your legacy will continue through Ysmark. He is called the Lesser, but he is a powerful spirit. Your daughter, Irina, too, shall pass the light of your candle through. Her you shall live on. And Irina says, goodbye, father. And Ysmark mutters something under his breath that you can't quite hear. Make a perception check.
A natural 20.
Boom. Okay, so yeah, you actually can hear.
I can't hear it!
You hear Ysmark say, I don't know why you didn't tell me the truth, but I suppose it doesn't matter anymore. I'll do my best to make you proud. And with that same natural 20, you feel a small thump underneath you and see the wooden floorboards of the floor shake as that last scream happens.
Uh-huh.
And you take a step backwards because it was kind of right underneath you. And glancing out the window that is to your left, you can see standing atop the rise in the graveyard, a tall man, his head bowed, his hat in his hand, on the edge of the church grounds.
I nudge Ysmark and I'm like, who's that?
Ysmark looks and you see him grit his teeth. And
I start to draw my sword.
Before you can do anything, he is out, heading out the chapel at a full walk. And Irina goes,
I start to draw my sword, and I look up, and he's gone.
But you see him, like, out the other end of the room, out the hall. Irina goes, Ysmark, where are you going? But he is no ears to her. He's just heading straight for the door.
I follow.
Okay.
Follow him.
Hot on his tail as he goes down the stone steps and around to the churchyard, and he yells, what do you think you're doing here? Can't you leave us in peace? And you see the figure raise his eyes, and it is the man that you met in the forest who called himself Vasily. The same man that you see on the coins that are in your pocket. And he holds his hands wide and says, can't a man pay his respects to the father of his beloved?
I grab Ysmark's hand and I try and pull him towards me. So we're still standing a distance away.
Mm-hmm. Feeling your hand, he stops suddenly and looks and sees you and kind of catches himself.
It was a lovely ceremony. Shame it kept being interrupted. That interruption was due to you. You were unwelcome here.
You're going to bury your father in the ground, aren't you?
That ground is mine. I am the land. I have as much right to be here as anyone.
And Ysmark just grits his teeth and stays there.
I kick the dirt in front of me and then just give him sort of a pointed look. Cock my head to the side.
He looks at you and says, I'm glad you found Ysmark. I take it then you'll be escorting my betrothed to me?
She's going to put her far away from you where you will never reach her.
Yeah, what he said, same energy. I'm gonna take her way far. But in all seriousness, we have some grieving to do, and since you are trying to furnish your wedding table with the mourner's banquet, maybe you can come back tomorrow.
Avant, is that it? I'll see you in good time. You will bring her to me.
And he turns and walks away.
Oh, that guy's so spooky.
He's worse than that.
Eastmark looks back, and Arena is like in the door of the church, her hand at her neck, self-consciously poking at the bite mark on her neck.
Mm. I got bit once, is that right?
You did not. He was going to bite you, but then he thought it was
and
too
then
easy.
He didn't. Okay, cool. Yeah. Great, just checking. Just keeping my lives in check.
This is no fun. Yeah. Eastmark rushes over to where Arena stands.
Mm-hmm. I keep an eye to make sure Strahd doesn't turn around and start bounding back, but once he sort of fades with the fog...
Nobody said he was Strahd. Yeah.
Sorry, Vasily.
No, he's totally Strahd.
I assume he's Vasily Strahd. Is Strahd a last name? Or is he trying to trick us?
No, Strahd is his first name. He gave you a pseudonym.
Who would do that? So Masha turns around and rejoins her new friends.
Arena is breathing.
Strahd is my foil. Go on. Sorry.
She's breathing rapidly against the door, and Eastmark comes and he puts his hands on both sides of her face, and he says, hey, stay with me. Stay with me. She goes, he's here. He'll always hunt me. I'm going to die.
No. You're not going to die.
She looks at you.
We are too damn pretty to die. Look at you. It should be illegal how beautiful you look. I'm not going to let that happen. I don't know how, but it's not going to happen.
Make a persuasion check.
Look at that confidence. 16.
Her breathing steadies. And she nods and looks at you. I don't know how either. And he's Marcosa. I have an idea. In Kresk, there's an abbey. And it is said that the abbot there is a powerful, holy man. The walls are high. And they have stood against the beast. I have employed Masha to escort you there. But what about you? I have to stay here. I'll miss you more than I would miss my left hand. You are my best friend, but it's the only way I can think to keep you safe. I will visit the moment I can, and I'll write. In the meantime, I will see you again.
Mary puts her hand on Arena and is like, I'll take care of you.
If you don't, that's what we're going to become.
So he's turned...
The beast doesn't particularly care for the sex of his playthings. When a pretty one catches his eye, he will turn them. I don't know why he treats me differently, why he didn't just turn me as soon as he could. She points to her neck. She goes, I know I was bit, but in order to be turned, first they have to suck your blood, then you have to suck their blood. It's like this whole big sucky suck fest thing.
Oh, okay, I always wondered about that.
We didn't do that, so... As far as I know, I'm still...
People.
I'm still people. Doru wasn't so lucky. And...
Is there a cure?
Eastmark nods and kind of glances over toward one of the broken planks of wood that has strayed closer to the door.
Death.
The only cure that we know of. Strahd is a monster. Not just in that he has fangs. He breaks people. He will wear down your spirit before he kills you. Father Donovich is one of the few holy men to still believe in the Morning Lord. Rather than just kill his son, he sent him back. Donovich was able to lock him in the Undercroft, but he's been down there starving for 10 years now.
10? I see.
He can't die, but I believe his pain is real. And Donovich... won't do what he has to cure his son. So the man lives in torment instead, praying for an answer.
Well, we do need to bury your father, right? Or was that some sort of veiled threat? I mean,
it probably
could be both.
Both
is good.
Both
I mean,
is
not good.
Good,
but.
Not, yeah. I will stay to dig the grave, and Donovich to help me. I think the exercise might do well to. At the very least, help him get to sleep tonight.
Right.
I think you two should get a head start. Days are short. Mm-hmm. And it'll take you at least two of them to get to Kresk.
I'll be outside when you're ready, Arena. And I get the directions as well.
It's pretty easy. Follow the signs. You're not standing there very long in the chill air. The only sound is the intermittent, muffled scream of Doru.
Oh, damn it.
Hmm.
Arena comes out and I go, oh, shoot. I gotta go to the bathroom. If I don't go to the bathroom now, we're gonna get on the road and I'm gonna have to go right away.
Oh, okay.
Just wait right here.
That's a good call. I'm gonna be at my house. Just come get me there when you're ready.
Okay. Okay, well.
It's gonna be a dangerous road ahead. Are you sure you've done everything you need to in town?
B, 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 B. Oh, I missed it. Okay. B, 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 B. Hey, Ismark's outside shoveling dirt, right?
Yeah. At this point, he's gone back around. He and Donovich both are...
I want to pull him aside, Ismark,
uh-huh.
And be like, hey, what did your father not tell you?
Make a persuasion check. With advantage. This guy trusts you.
25.
He puts the shovel on the ground and says, I'll be right with you, father. Just one moment. And he walks a ways aside with you.
Spill the tea.
I did not know that Arena was adopted. Neither does she. I was raised believing that she was my blood.
Well, I mean, adopted parents hide that kind of thing just to protect people from feeling out of place, don't you think? Or do you think there was something more to it?
I don't know. And the only person that I could ask is about to be put underground.
Myri hugs him.
He, like, freezes up for a sec, completely unused to it. And then he rests a hand around you. And he's got those gravedigger muscles. Like...
Stop it. I was already going there. Oh, but now he's sweat rippling because he's been monologuing to his friend because there are two gravediggers digging a grave.
They were telling riddles.
Anyway. Myri hasn't been hugged in a long time. All my friends. Oh, no. Everyone I love dies. Okay, great.
You're not alone in that.
Oh, no.
And he gives you the hug back and then
yeah.
Breathes in
separate
deep.
Separate and get real manly, both yeah. of us.
Pushes his tears up so they look like sweat.
I'm going to look out for that one.
Well, road's waiting. Thank you. Again, you have no idea. Oh, I'm glad you came back. I almost forgot. He gives you a small coin purse.
Oh.
Better
oh.
to pay you in advance.
She looks at the coins. Oh, thank you. Good luck. Be a good mayor.
I'll do my best.
And then she heads off back towards Arena's house.
Yeah, the sound of shovel starts up again. I thought about it. A gallows maker? Houses that he built outlast 1,000 tenants. Graveyard scene, graveyard scene, graveyard scene. Tosses a skull over his shoulder.
I catch it. Huh. Yuck.
Kick it to the side. You move past the windows of the church and back down the road to Arena's house, where you see her coming out of the front door. She's changed into traveling clothes, not dissimilar to yours. Matching, not matching outfit thing going on.
Uh-huh.
With one flamboyant exception, her traveling cloak and riding hood are the color of dried blood.
Okay, I haven't met a lot of, she puts air quotes, beasts. Are they attracted to red? Is this like a bull situation?
Oh, this is just my favorite. I can wear another one.
Let's pack this one, but maybe wear a different one.
Okay. She goes back into the house, maybe like this one, and it's black. And on the back is the symbol of the Morning Lord, a circle with an X through it.
This one's nice, but maybe just something more simple. This one feels a little formal, you know?
Okay, okay.
It feels like you could have worn this to the funeral, but like, that's just me.
She goes in.
A black robe with the sign of the Morning Lord on it.
Yeah, it looks like a target. She goes back and comes in with a, like...
dog carcass.
She comes back. She's gone back and gotten her dad, who, like, you forgot to take him to the church after all, and she's just, like, holding him over her arms.
What do you think? I'm not trying to get crunchy, but we get vaguely camping supplies, backpacks, and put them on.
Yes, yes, yes. You've got like...
bedroll and our campfire making materials.
I mean, you have a tinderbox. You got a tinderbox. But yes, she right. She also has a
I have been
of
spending
bedrolls.
About an hour a day swiping that tinderbox, but I'm really trying to quit.
It's very good. You owe me a
tinderbox
dollar.
Is a terrible name for a phone, though.
So it's like a Chromebook?
Yeah.
Ooh. And you each have 2 days worth of rations.
Okay. Until we find an old lady in the woods with pie.
Until you find an old lady in the woods with pie. She goes, I want to just straight up get this out right now. I'm not a damsel. I'm not in distress. I'm not just someone that has to be escorted. I will hold my own. I know a little bit about the healing arts.
Do a spell. You can do a spell. Do a spell right now. Do it.
I mean, I only have a couple of...
Do you have a cantrip?
Yeah, okay. And she holds out her hand and a little candlelight appears in it. She says, I still believe in the Morning Lord. And he shows up for me sometimes. I had to learn them to use them myself more than once.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She shrugs. That's life.
I used to be able to make coins look like more coins. And I turn around and start walking.
That's cool, too. As she jogs to catch up to you, and she goes, I just mean, like, don't think of me as a liability.
Okay. She stops. I lose a lot.
Like at card games?
Yeah, I lose a lot at card games.
Seems kind of off topic, but okay.
Before I came here, I had a big failure. So if I am rushing to protect you or pushing you out of the way, it's more about me than you.
Okay. I can respect that.
Well, I can certainly use someone that can help. So I'm glad to have you with me.
Shall we?
We both, my mouth drops.
She like smiles and kind of like heads off down the road. Irina Kulyana has joined the party.
Bitch. Coming in here. AC 15.
HP 9.
But hey, that's no. Oh, man.
Couple proficiencies, medicine, history. She knows the area that you're.
Oh, guidance, baby.
She's here to guide you. I was going to do that, but I was like, that's kind of a hard one to show. So she did Sacred Flame.
That's cute. Yeah, guidance is, look at how bad I am at cooking. Look at how good I am at cooking with guidance.
Look at how bad I am at flirting. Look at how good I am at flirting with guidance.
Oh my God, you're inside me. Let's see. <You're cute. laughs>
Guidance. God has a plan for you. That was a tiramisu of nerd joke right there. We see the two of you reflected in the River Ilvis, as clear as a blue winter sky as it flows through the valley as you cross a bridge heading out of the town of Barovia and into the valley beyond.
Into the unknown.
And so on and so forth, and everyone is satisfied with the ending. Legitimately, probably my favorite line in any media.
So good.
So bold. So happy. The two of you set off into the woods. You are traveling for a few hours. It's getting to be midday, which is to say the gray, chilly air around you has gotten slightly lighter gray and slightly less chilly. When you come to a crossroads, there is a signpost with three directions, the way you were headed, and then the road splits into two directly ahead of you, and an old wooden gallows, which creaks in the chill wind that blows down from the high ground of the west. A frayed length of rope dances in the wind, hanging from its beam. Across from the gallows, you can see a low wall crumbling in places, partially enclosing a small plot of graves shrouded in fog. From the direction of the gallows, you hear a slight rhythmic knocking sound.
We're like talking about various things, and then I clock that, and I just, shh, what is that? I want to try and focus more on this sound.
Make a perception check.
Throw a 19 surround. 26.
Good on you. As you creep forward, you recognize that it's the sound of something banging against the wood of the gallows, and you creep forward through the fog, and as you get closer, you can see there is a woman, a thin man, a person of indeterminate gender, sitting on the edge of the gallows, kicking their feet lazily in the air, like a kid would on a chair that's too big for them to reach the ground. And every now and then their right foot knocks against the wood of one of the support beams. A picnic basket is open to their right with a bottle of wine and three cups and a loaf of brown bread. A hood is pulled over their eyes, and silver hair dangles down from underneath it. What do you do?
I just want to follow the road and try and not draw attention to ourselves as we walk by.
Okay. Make a stealth check to get by this person unnoticed. And make one for Irina as well.
24 for, almost said Beverly, for Myri. Oh, nice. A 3 for Arena.
You like kind of motion for her to head like down by the gravestones, by the low wall, mm-hmm. and turn around and see that she's like, I just like this one better. And she's put back the red cloak on.
It feels better. It's the fabric. I'm allergic.
You hear a voice say, well, Matt, don't be shy. Come share a cup of wine.
Oh, I don't think we have time for that. We have a very important meeting to make in a few days.
And it'll still be there in a few days. The Abbey waits, as it has for centuries now. You've definitely got time. Come on, Masha, Irina.
It's great, because I chose one from the same play, I think. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. What do you know about us, stranger? She says in a, you got us. Just keeping it light.
I've seen many things.
And she pulls out a deck of cards.
This is the person with the hood.
There's just the one person.
Oh, it's one person copy.
Sorry, I wasn't saying like there is a thin man, a woman, and a person with a hood. There is possibly a thin man, possibly a woman, a person wearing a hood.
Got it.
Just the one.
Because I was like, damn, this person took them on a date to a gallows. That sucks. Because I thought there were two people. It's like, dude, Barovia sucks. She's trying to go out of her way to make a cool date. This is not it.
Nah, girl. This is your date with destiny.
Oh, no.
A pack of cards. They appear to be made out of a very thick paper. I've seen many things about you. She holds up the thief, a swashbuckler. The company you keep holds up a beggar, a monk. I've seen what's happened to you. Holds up a necromancer, the traitor. And some things that will happen to you, the soldier and the mercenary. And then shuffles the deck and flutters it again. And says, come, three girls, a crossroads, share a cup of wine. And let's see what the mists have in store for you.
It's such a good pitch. I look to Arena.
Arena looks back at you and shrugs. She seems trustworthy.
Oh, Arena, we're going to talk about that later. But I am interested. I'll say that much. Trustworthy, she doesn't look to me, but I turn around.
He pats the wooden platform.
Says, call me Olga.
Olga it is.
Shall I read your fortune? I nicked this deck from Mother Luba herself.
And she shuffles the cards again.
Who's Mother Luba?
An old woman.
She pats them on the edge of the gallows.
Ah. What does getting my fortune read cost?
Few minutes of your time and some company. I don't believe in drinking alone.
And she pops the cork of her bottle.
So I've been waiting for someone to come along and share with me.
She pours into all three cups, holds up her own, and takes a sip.
Mm-hmm. I leave mine sitting.
Arena looks at you for a cue.
I look at her and I give her a look like, bro.
She goes, right, don't be rude. And she takes the glass and drinks
it. No! No! Good for her. I want to fake drink it.
Okay. Make a performance check.
Or is it a sleight of mouth?
It is. There's no stat for sleight of mouth.
If there was.
Make a performance check.
Honestly, I'm better at that anyway. But that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I got a 24. The fourth 19 of this session.
Holy crap. Olga tips back her own goblet and closes her eyes. And as she does, you pour liquid outside of your cup just over your shoulder. And it splashes mm-hmm. to the ground behind you. And you take mm-hmm. a small step back, crunching the puddle under your foot. And she lowers it again and goes, and pours herself another glass.
It's thirsty work reading the mists. Mm. Now then, stranger to this land, and daughter of stone, what is it that you are seeking?
I have many questions, but you came to read my fortune. Are you saying you can answer my questions as well?
I can do many things. I'm here to help twist a thread here or there and steer things in the right direction. This land is ensnared by evil. Evil that I am no fan of. And you could be our best hope against it. So I'd love to aid you if I'm able.
I want to live.
Let's hope you do.
She shuffles the card some more.
Would you live out your days here in Barovia?
I want to see my home.
In order to walk free beyond the borders, there are items you must retrieve.
A a cow as white as milk.
Again? Are you kidding me? That cannot be part of this plot.
It's a fetch quest, but it's not the End of the Woods items.
Cut the deck.
By which I mean Lee, tell me when.
I understand. There.
She says, the first card tells of history. Knowledge of the ancients will help you better understand your enemy. It knows what you were.
She holds up the charlatan, the seven of glyphs. On it, you can see a man winking from behind a mask that he lowers with feathers in his hair and long, clever fingers.
A person pulling cons, a trickster, one living by her wits at the expense of the wits of others.
She bows her head.
I see a lonely mill on a precipice. The treasure lies within. The second card tells of a powerful force for good and protection, a holy symbol of great hope. It knows what you are.
And she holds up the Master of Coins, the Rogue, a hooded figure with a sword at their belt, cloak billowing in the wind, and a coin purse stuffed close to full.
I think this one needs a little explanation. Anyone for whom money is important, believe it is the key to your success. I see a nest of ravens. That's where you will find the prize.
Myri bristles at that, but covers it up and puts back a neutral expression.
Roll a deception check for me.
Okay. 21. Blackjack.
Oh, cool. Arena rubs her shoulder a little bit.
The third card is a card of power and strength. Tells of a weapon of vengeance, a saber of light. It shows what you will be.
The Avenger, the One of Swords. A woman in full plate armor holding an ornate sword as she stares angrily at something out of frame.
Justice and revenge for great wrongs. Those on a quest to rid the world of great evil.
Well, that is my past, so joke's on you.
She smiles enigmatically and kind of rotates, sways a little bit on her seat.
The treasure lies in a dragon's house, in hands once clean and now corrupted. You will not be alone on your quest to rid the world of this beast. You shall have an ally.
And she hits the bottom of the deck of cards, and about a dozen of them slide up halfway, and she grabs those with her other hand and collects them all, sets the greater part of the deck to the side, and then tosses each card from one to the other, catching them between her fingers, and then with one hand shuffling them and straightening them again.
These cards deal with the Dark Lord's fate as it mingles with your own.
Tell me when.
There.
The Broken One. Your greatest ally will be a wizard. His mind is broken, but his spells are strong.
And yeah, you see a reflection, a tormented man upside down in what looks like a shattered mirror.
And of course, you will eventually face the beast. Once you have acquired this ally and the treasures, you shall seek him in his castle. Where shall the showdown take place?
She shuffles the cards again and spreads them wide in a fan, face down.
There.
The marionette.
You see a masked figure with puppet strings on their shoulder and arms, dangling its hand above a goblet. She closes her eyes, or, you know, seems to, again. Still haven't seen them.
Look to great heights and find the beating heart of the castle. He will wait nearby.
She drains her goblet of wine. And Arena says, and what about me? And the woman, Olga, bobs her head from side to side. She draws the top card of the deck, the Dark Lord. She draws the next one, the Mists, and draws a third one, the Innocent.
Until he is destroyed, you have no future.
And she collects them all in her one hand and holds up the beast. Arena starts to breathe very shakily. and begin to panic again.
Okay, I think we've heard enough. Thank you very much. Hey, it's going to be okay. Just get back on the road, or we can take a break, whatever you want to do.
We can't take a break. He'll find us. He'll find us if we take a break. He'll find that we have to go before it gets dark, and he's... Not that it matters. Hey. He can come out at any time.
Hey, you're not a damsel. You're not in distress. You can handle this.
Make a persuasion check.
24.
She breathes deeply. Shakes her head. You're right. Thank you.
Do you know of a place to stay for the night?
You both turn back toward the gallows to ask Olga, but she is gone. As is the wine, as are the goblets, including the one that was in Arena's hand.
You saw her, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay, I think you're right. We should move. Let's go. I'm sure that's fine. Yeah, why wouldn't it be fine? I wouldn't be fine.
She just didn't want to stick where she had her drink, and then she wanted to...
The Valley Strangler was caught, right? Like, that's over.
You know the Valley Strangler? You're in a valley. You're by a gallows.
Government's the Valley Strangler.
As you head to the other side of the gallows and look at the signpost, you can see the sign pointing back. It says Barovia Village to the east, Sare Pool to the northwest, Valaki and other towns to the southwest.
I turn to Arena. Krask is an other town, I assume?
It is an other town.
Southwest it is. And I start heading that way.
As you do, make a perception check.
Yes, Chef. 17.
You hear a creaking noise coming from behind you.
I gotta teach Arena sign language. All right, camping trip activity. Tonight, we're learning sign language. Because I want to do what Quoth does.
With Tempe?
With Tempe, yeah. It's very funny that you call it a Tempe.
Like the protein?
I said Tempe in my head every time. She's going to keep walking and not disturb Arena at all, but she's going to do a big stretch and kind of look behind her and see if she can see if anything's following her.
Nothing is following you, but where the fortune teller sat, now you see a halfling. Sorry, not a halfling. Half a person. They're missing their legs. Their skin is lifeless and gray, and it creaks slowly to face its lifeless eyes on you. In its hand is a bouquet of fresh roses.
I go, oh, it feels so good. Doesn't it feel like we should, like, move? And I just start walking faster.
Yeah, okay. Get that blood pumping.
Uh-huh. Definitely blood pumping.
And the two of you, I didn't even realize that. The two of you head down the hill and out of sight, and we pull back in the camera past the bouquet, which is now held in the hands of Strahd.
No!
Thank you for listening to episode 87 of 1P D&D, with Beverly Jean as Myri Stonedaughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did most of the music, and this track was done by Alex Scribner. This episode was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast adventure Curse of Strahd, and my thanks go out to Reddit user Mandy Mod for her fleshing out Strahd guide, and Guardian143, who inspired the script for the Morning Lord funeral. This podcast would not be possible without the help of our patrons, Michael, Peter, Dan, Anthony, and Evan. Thank you all so very much. If you would like to join their esteemed adventuring guild, head over to patreon.com/1pdnd. That's 1 like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter using those same numerals and letters. And remember, this podcast is only as cool as its community. So help it grow by telling your friends about this podcast or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or, you know, wherever you encounter this podcast. The next episode will be up in 2 Wednesdays, June 9th. See you then.